gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you, it's an orange sunrise from the smoky, coming off the fires down in Colorado this September 15th, 2018. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant, and we thank you for joining us here on Coffee on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting all over the world on satellite, shortwave, on the internet, even to your phone, if you want to go with that. And we'll have the phone lines open here this morning. John, we'll look to you to open us up with prayer, if you would, sir.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you've set aside, Lord, for us to come together and to share the things that are going on in the world and how they're related to biblical scripture and to prophecy, to your promises, to your warnings.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding this morning, show us what it is that's important to reveal to your people. Father, convict your people to share whatever it is that you may have shared with them. Lord, we just ask that you would remember grace and mercy in your wrath and compassion, Lord, for your people. There's so much going on in the world today, so much evil. Evil knows that its time is limited, and I believe it's risen up. It's all around us, and there's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us, heal us, and protect us. So, Father, we claim that blood, that precious, holy, cleansing, healing blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with. Father, in this 11th and three-quarter hour, send your ministering angels out to those that can come to repentance. Give us the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission and share the gospel, the truth of the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours and those that desire to restore your kingdom, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And send your warring angels, Father, to battle Leviathan in the high places, those that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Father, we praise you and we love you and we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers the prayers of your people. And you've heard our prayer that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We're seeing it in the synagogue of Satan, Catholic Church. Father, we're seeing it exposed, even all the way up to the Pope, who calls himself the Vicar of Christ and the Holy Father. Father, continue to wake your people, remove the scales from their eyes, unstop their ears.
Yes.
Let them see the evil within these churches. Father, rescue those that can. Pull them up out of the pit. And Father, send confusion into the camp of the enemy. Let them turn upon each other, Lord, and destroy each other. Let them fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. Father, our desire is to come to that place of complete obedience where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Lord, we know that we need prayer warriors now more than ever, as the demonic forces of hell, tens of thousands of witches and warlocks and just demonic forces, spells, and witchcraft are being sent against your people. And Father, we know that greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. But we also know that this is a spiritual warfare, and that we must do our part.
Yes.
So convict us, Father. Spend that time in prayer to pray for our leaders, to pray for protection, to pray for grace and mercy, to pray for your warring angels to battle Leviathan. We pray all these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. Of course, we probably thought we would start off talking about this tropical storm now, Florence. Been in the news for the last week. Come on shore there in the Carolinas, and is still bringing massive flooding. I was able to talk to or leave messages for a few of our people that are in the Carolinas, and talked with our brother Andy. You know, he just had a new grandson, and they're doing well. And but they were preparing. They were preparing for the flooding that was coming. And spoke to another member of the congregation, Al, and left a couple messages for a few others, and let them know we were praying for them, and that if we could help, to let us know. Saw this. You know, the headlines this morning, they're confirmed that they've had at least 5 fatalities they're attributing to the storm. About 1 million people without power. And having lived through those, you just don't know when that's going to come on. I had texted with our brother Josh earlier in the week, and he was packing up, getting ready to go. That's what he does. He's a line repairman. So I'd sure ask you, Remnant, to keep our brother Josh and his family and his crew, the crews that they're on, in your prayers for safety. I remember him talking about the last time down in Florida. You know, they were sometimes wading in chest deep and shoulder deep water to get over. And these are power line repairmen to get over and repair power lines. And so there's a lot that goes into repairing the infrastructure to bring that electricity and power that we so rely on in our society today. It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of people that put a lot of hard work into it, so keep them in your prayers. Looks like New Bern, North Carolina, got hit pretty hard. Town's still flooded out quite a bit. They've been rescuing people left and right. In New Bern, town about 29,000 people, just a little smaller than Laramie, and they put it under an evacuation. I think effective Wednesday. But many people didn't leave, and then of course many people have to be rescued. They have been the rescue groups. They're even in the news articles talking about the civilian, the Cajun Navy, and it's there, and the civilian rescue groups that are, and that's just people that are out saving people from floodwaters. You see the pictures and you read the stories, and I had this one quote that I thought I would share. It says, this one lady tried to row out of her neighborhood with a boat that was in her yard, but she couldn't make it through the weather. This other man, Tom, a resident and business owner, said he watched the water rise around him while sitting in his home. He said, nobody expected this. We were fools. And I thought that kind of highlighted the double-mindedness of the spell that so many of our people are in. And the town of New Bern sits kind of like on a little peninsula between the Neuse and the Trent Rivers. And so here for a week, we've seen the pictures on TV, we've heard the warnings that this storm's coming. And then here this business owner, when it hits and their town floods out in between two rivers, nobody expected this. Anyway, just it is a mess there. There are certainly always those that won't evacuate, whether it's especially in front of hurricanes, and they throw their hurricane parties and sometimes even when this storm came ashore, it brought rain. But it was a category, I think it hit a category 5 storm, which is the heaviest wind, while it was still out in the ocean. And I know there were prayers offered up for it. Prayers for God in his wrath to remember mercy. And before it came on shore, it was downgraded to a 2, maybe even a 1. I think it was a category 1 when it came on shore. And I think that does show that the mercy of our Heavenly Father. But the people, and some were prepared. You know, there were quite a few places boarded up. Some of the boards said looters will be shot. Some of the people take that pretty seriously. Even the governor, Governor McMaster of South Carolina, had said that anyone who loots during Hurricane Florence will be shown no mercy by law enforcement, is what he says. And they just put it out there. And again, because, see, the governor, the state, they know that that's going to happen. They know that there is a criminal element in our society that preys upon our citizens, that preys upon any opportunity, that don't abide by laws, no matter how many laws you put in. And the only way to deter them is to have a man there with a gun, or to, when you catch him in the act, to lock him up, and to stop him from doing that. Now, that's not, we understand that's not God's law. That's not the way it should be. We should not have that criminal element in our society, but we do. And like you mentioned before the program, John, there'll be some more looting coming from that, I'm sure.
One of the greatest threats, I think, that isn't really being spoken about is there's, from what I read, I think 12 to 15 nuclear power plants in the path of this storm, and that the storm's turning and it's heading back up the east coast, and the path I saw, the trajectory that I saw showed it going all the way up into Massachusetts. And I was reading something this morning just briefly, but it looked like that it was a direct hit on one of the power plants already. And I mean, we have the potential for multiple Fukushimas here.
Yes.
Within the United States. And if you remember what it was that caused Fukushima, it was first that the power went out, and second that a tsunami wave took out the backup generator system. And as soon as there's no power whatsoever, no landline power and no backup generator power, well, that's when things turn bad, when the cooling towers can't pump the water to the
yes.
reactors. And so anyways, I think those are the things that we really need to be in prayer about, because those are the things that not only will affect the people in the east, on the East Coast there, but will ultimately affect all of us. In fact, Jason was sharing something with me last week. I'm not sure if he shared it on Coffee with the Wranglers yet or not, but based on Fukushima and the effects that it's having on California and then with the fires, maybe you can share a little bit on that, Jason.
Yeah, I want to share some on that, but I want to, going back to this power plant deal, you know, that's what the media came out and they said, oh, we shut the power down at these nuclear power plants. And the thing is they can say that, but it takes weeks and weeks to cool down those nuclear reactors before you can effectively shut them down. It's not
right.
flipping a switch and shutting them down. It takes weeks of cooling those things down to be able to shut them down. So they've been you know, lying again, telling you that, oh yeah, okay, well there's 12 nuclear power plants in the path of that storm right now, and they've shut, you know, they're saying we shut them down, and they're saying that's why that there's so many people without power. No, it's not the case. So that's one thing that they are covering up and trying to lie. The other thing that we're dealing with right now in, you know, here in Colorado and Oregon, Washington, is that you know, the results of we're still seeing you know, catastrophe that has happened from Fukushima, because we had so much of that stuff. People don't realize that when that radiation gets up into the atmosphere, it goes all over the world. You know, it can be 1,000 miles away in a number of days. And that's exactly what happened with Fukushima. It got up into the atmosphere and it went everywhere. It came down into a lot of the trees and a lot of the plants. And since we've had these fires, you know, it gets into the trees and then the trees burn up and now it's airborne again. And, you know, the smoke that we've been having all over the United States, they've been testing it and they're spending millions of dollars, close to $1 billion. On new testing equipment, they're testing positive for all the cesiums that have been that were found from, that they can trace back all the way back to Fukushima. It's all of a sudden it's airborne again. That's why this, you know, the smoke that's coming out of these fires is so dangerous. It's the cesiums, and it's also testing positive for glycophosphates. So I mean that's
through the fish are too.
So it's one of those things. This nuclear power plant deal could be a really bad deal. It's something that people really need to keep in prayer. And you know, it's trying to get away from it. I mean, you know, our best and only defense really is our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and trusting that He is going to cleanse our bodies and purify our bodies and purify the air that we breathe.
Amen.
Amen to that. I know right here at the University of Wyoming is doing that with their research plane, you know, measuring smoke plumes and, you know, how they develop and what they do depending on the terrain and the wind, and then the content of them, the makeup of them. And they've got a huge grant. I know a couple of guys, one guy that flies a plane and another engineer on the team that does that very thing that you're saying, Jason, that they do. They've been out in Idaho this year, and boy, the smoke that we've had, you better be praying, folks. You know, the smoke, the fires that have fired back up just in the last, just this past week, the Silver Creek fire down in Colorado, burning outside of Kremlin, and then over in western Colorado, have a complex of fires, Three Wash and Boone Gulch, and they're, the smoke that they're putting out is basically covering the state of Wyoming. And then it's blowing all the way up into north into the Dakotas, east into Nebraska. There's a couple of big fires that have come up out in Utah, Bald Mountain and Pole Creek, and the smoke that they're putting out it's different. It just is the way, you know. We heard that when with the big California fires this year, is that the fires are burning different. The smoke is different. Now, they're not saying what it is, but they're noticing. We're seeing that in the fire industry. You see that in the reports that the fire behavior is different. As a result of this Fukushima radiation, very well could be. Got a verse here, Isaiah 25, starting in verse 1, just a couple verses here. It says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. For you have made a city into a heap, a fortified city into a ruin. A palace of strangers is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore a strong people will glorify you, cities of ruthless nations will revere you. For you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. And in seeing these storms back east, but just as you mentioned, Jason, that's not the only storm we have, and we're still having fallout from storms from years ago. Regarding that Fukushima, but when we trust in our Lord and God, when we praise Him, when we rely on Him and Him alone, when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, he didn't just pray, he prayed, and he strapped on a sword and he went to work, and he prayed and then he did, and that's what we have to do as well. We have to pray and listen to that to the Holy Spirit, and then we have to be doers.
Yeah, I find it kind of interesting as well that apparently FEMA just recently had exercises for a tropical storm / hurricane hitting the East Coast and possibly damaging multiple nuclear power plants. So, they say... there's people who say that the government can control the weather, and that's possible, with the HAARP and some of the things that we've read about. But, makes you wonder if it's a coincidence that, for the most part, I don't believe in coincidences. The Yep. fact that FEMA just did a massive drill on the East Coast with the same scenario that's taking place right now is interesting, to say the least.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, plenty of...
Something else I was going to talk about was, I think it was earlier this week, the Pope came out with a statement that said the great accuser, Satan, is... basically put these whistleblowers or is using these whistleblowers to expose the pedophilia within the church. I mean, boy, if that doesn't just say it straight out that they're admitting, what's going on, and it goes all the way up to the Pope. In fact, that I believe it's an answer to our prayer, because we've heard of these Catholic dioceses being involved in pedophilia, but this is the first time to my recollection that it's gone all the way to the Pope, and to the fact where at first there was no comment, and now his comments are basically exposing him for his participation in harboring and protecting these high-ranking pedophiles. And it's not just that they're abusing these children within the diocese. They're abusing these priests as they're coming up through the system. And apparently there's quite a few that are coming forward now that's saying that it's a culture of homosexuality within the Catholic, excuse me, priest, whatever they call it, monastery or whatever. But the thing that caught my eye was this headline said, not just Catholics, rabbi exposes rampant child sex abuse by high-level Jewish clergy. And then it says, just as the Catholic Church maintained, protected, and allowed a pedophile ring of hundreds, if not thousands, of Catholic priests to rape and abuse children for decades, so too has the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in New York been accused of allowing one out of five ultra-Orthodox Jews to be abused without informing police. And it goes on to give some graphic demonstration or some graphic descriptions of things that this rabbi has witnessed. And I mean, we never saw these kind of things before that are being exposed, that, you know, the evil wickedness. There's something called Pizzagate that I think we touched on maybe right around Christmas time. It was pretty major, and it's all part of this deep state cover-up. But reading this article, you can see that the high-ranking Jewish government officials, you know, these senators and these House of Representatives and people in high-ranking positions in all aspects of law enforcement and judges and all these things, they're all involved in this this pedophile ring that I continue to pray would be exposed. This Pizzagate thing ties into that Jeffrey Epstein and his pedophile island, and Bill Clinton, and, you know, the Clinton cartel. And so we just got to keep praying. You know, there's things that that they once thought were sacred as far as kept hidden from the American people and from godly people, and those things are being exposed, and that's nothing but the hand of God and the answer to our prayers, in my opinion.
I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's we're seeing these things, and it's, you know, things, these deeds that were done in darkness being brought to light. You know, a couple of the quotes that that came out of the Pope's mouth in that this week that I thought were interesting is, he said, "We cannot enter into the logic of the accuser." He continued, "Because the only legitimate accusation that we Christians have is to accuse ourselves. For others, there is only mercy. For we are children of the Father who is merciful." They're also coming out and saying that, you know, a couple things that there's a lot of people that have come forward, and they said, you know, we've written about this, and we've written about this, and it's been covered up and covered up. You know, the Pope has come out and said, oh, we want transparency. We're going to be transparent, and we're going to, you know, whatever happens, you know, we're not going to try to hide it, not trying to cover it up. And they've done, you know, absolutely the 100% opposite of that. And they've tried to cover it up and cover it up and cover it up. And I think that it's time that the Lord just says, okay, you know, here you go. And he's revealing their nakedness to them, you know, and he's showing them what, you know, how perverted they are.
Amen.
Yep, exactly.
Amen.
Well, what's coming out, too, is that since, you know, the 70s and probably even before that, there's been huge financial payoffs from these dioceses, especially in New York and certain places, of these children and of these families to squelch the truth from going out.
Yeah, I know, and you know, a couple years ago when there was a scandal, it was nothing to this magnitude. You know, they were finding out that these parents that had a child that was molested in the Catholic Church were getting paid, you know, some of them upwards of over $1 million And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, you take your child, let the Pope molest him, and you get $1 million. I mean, talk about sacrificing your children to demons.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
And, I mean, it's pure demonic. I mean, that church is demonic. I mean, anybody that can't see that, you know, needs to look real hard at it.
Yeah, when you see the headline about these Jewish organizations being involved just as heavily, if not more, than the Roman Catholic Church, it's really not a surprise. They're both the synagogue of Satan. And once you realize that, it's pretty easy to believe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you know, it's a demonic. It's so demonic, their religion in general, all the way from the all throughout and out, and it's been that way for a long time. And you know, I mean, you know, talk about a covert operation, you know, coming in the name of Christianity. It was interesting because me and Dad talked about it years and years ago. It was that, you know, when you hear the word out normal, when you're talking to the general run of the mill people, you know, and you talk about Christianity, what religion do you automatically pops into your head? And it's Catholicism. It's being a Catholic. And you know, we sat downtown Old Town Fort Collins one time and asked people about Christianity. And number one is, you talk to people about it. Oh, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, why are you a Catholic? Well, my mother was a Catholic. Oh, okay. Yep, does that make you a Catholic? Yeah, that makes me a Catholic. And you know, they talk about how proud they were of their Christianity because they were Catholic. And you know, it is talk about, you know, a covert operation. It comes on. People think of it as a Christian organization when it's an Antichrist organization.
Yep.
Yeah, Peter taught on that. Pastor taught on that many times about, you know, how the media, how the Antichrist Hollywood had done that. You know, any time religion was brought up, it was always this this Catholic priest with his little band around his neck, and they have put that into the mindset of the people that. You're right, that is religion, that's Christianity, when it is just the opposite. Yeah, very, very good point, very good point.
Well, the good news is that those things are being exposed in a greater degree than I can ever remember in my lifetime, and I attribute it to the prayers of the saints. I mean, you know, sometimes we may question whether our prayers are being answered, and it may not be answered in our, you know, in the time frame that we like, but I still believe Romans 8:28 there. It says that the Lord works all things for good for those who love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose. And this is a spiritual warfare. The sad thing is that when you talk about spiritual warfare, many of those who call themselves Christians don't even know what you're talking about. Many of them have never read Ephesians 6:10-20. Many of them have never read 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, and they don't understand the spiritual warfare aspect. In fact, there's just a small group of people who do understand spiritual warfare. We're fortunate because our pastor did understand spiritual Amen. Warfare probably as early on as 15, 20 years ago. He was speaking about spiritual warfare, and that spiritual warfare includes witchcraft, and witchcraft is what Satan and the enemies of God's people use against us, and that weapon's been used against our pastor, and has been used against our church for many years. Fortunately, we've been given many, many spiritual weapon tools to combat those things. And we just need to, I think we need to go back and look at all of the things that we've been given. You know, the revealing of the anointing oil and non-anointing oil is huge. the revealing of the fact that we have the power to bind and the power to loose. Praying with authority is probably one of the biggest ones. I can't even, sometimes it's hard to stomach when you're with a group that call themselves Christians, or you're at a gathering where there's a prayer or something, and it sounds like the person who's leading the prayer, who's typically a male, but these days it can be a female as well, how feminine and how effeminate, let's say it that way, effeminate the prayer is. There's no power behind these prayers. It's just like, oh, if it be your will, you know, and this and that. It kind of makes you sick when you've been brought up in a church where you were taught to pray with authority. And then another interesting point, I think, is the people who notice when you pray that you pray with authority. And what a blessing to have been given that teaching from many, many years ago.
Amen. And I amen to that. You know, I think that's
one of the... witnessed it this week.
Yeah, well, witnessing it and seeing it, you know, I think that's one of the things that we can live by example, too. And, you know, I witnessed it this week. I had some dealings with a Baal priest this week. I call him the Baal priest, called him Baal priest for a long time. And I believe that's what they are, when they, you know, deny the power of God and they do not teach God's word and they pervert it. And there's one that was doing a real good job of it. And it was interesting because just the binding and loosing and how powerful that is, and how it's something you don't get it overnight. You practice it, but when you walk in it and you exercise that in faith, how powerful it is. This individual was called upon to pray after sitting through a short message, and it was interesting and surprised, but at the same time, it shouldn't be surprising, because the only words that he could get out of his mouth was Jesus Christ, praise Jesus Christ. Completely tongue tied and could not get a word out otherwise. Ended up coming up to me afterwards and apologized.
I noticed you took up the prayer after that.
I did.
But you know what? Go ahead.
And it was, and he came up to me afterwards and he said it was interesting. And he said, I owe you an apology. He's like, when I was called upon to pray, he's like, I tried. And he's like, I couldn't get any words out. He said, nothing could come out. Everything that I wanted to say, it just couldn't come out. And, you know, I mean, and talk about God giving us dominion and us, you know, taking it. It's you know, we see these things and we just, you know, it's praise be to Jesus Christ. I mean, he's given us so much of this power and so much authority, and he's been waiting on us to take it and to use it. And,
well,
you know,
why
do we marvel when we see him, give us these things and see him, you know, smile his face down upon us, but sometimes we still do.
Remember how it started out, too. The individual that we were there for to honor, the first thing that this Baal priest said was that this man came from a time when Christianity was much more harsh, when they believed in persecution and retribution, or, well, I forget exactly what it was, but basically that we are in a different time now. We are in a time where there's, you know, compassion, and we love, Jesus loves everyone, you know, and it was just sick, made you sick to your stomach, wanted to jump up and say, my Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same today, tomorrow,
yes,
and forever.
Yes, amen.
And but the fact that he was tongue-tied tells me that there again, our prayers are answered. Those guardian angels were there. You had set the stage with your message for the angels, for the Holy Spirit to be present, and those who operate in the counterfeit realm, they have no power when the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit is present. And I was there supporting you and also binding anything that was trying to hinder what it was that you were doing. So,
that's a great lesson. Go ahead.
No, that's a great lesson.
Well, yeah, it is. It was a great lesson, and I'll tell you what, was able to deliver a short message, and it was really interesting to me because it was one of those things that it was a hard message to do, but at the same time it was soaked with prayer, and there was people praying for it, and when it was done, every single person that was present, except for two pastors, were the ones that came up and they said it was the best message they've ever heard in their entire life. And they said it struck home to them so powerful that they just were having a hard time with it. The ones that had a hard time with it were the Christians and the pastors. And I thought that was interesting as well.
Amen.
Yeah, and those that are willfully living in open sin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Amen.
So, I mean, we got to remember that, and we got to walk in that. And sometimes is all we have to do is exercise a little bit of authority, and it shuts down their, it shuts their power down, takes them down, and it exposes them also.
Amen. Amen. Luke 10:19 comes to mind. I turned my Bible over there. It says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." And it doesn't say some of the power of the enemy, and it doesn't say you can come up against lieutenants in the enemy's army, but not colonels. It doesn't say that you can do a little bit. No, it's authority. And then it goes on in verse 20, I think it makes a point here. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." And I think that verse, gives us, it sets the priority. And so we do rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven. We rejoice in that. We thank our Heavenly Father, we do that. But that doesn't negate the spiritual side of the warfare. That doesn't negate the authority that we have. Just like we have the authority to represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this time, in this land. And you guys give a great example of doing that very thing, of exercising that authority, of taking authority over the enemy, over the enemy's thoughts, over the enemy's actions, and in Jesus' name, having that power over that. Again, not so that we can gloat, that's not the reason, but it's to glorify Him. And it certainly sounds like that was done. Praise God.
Yeah, on another note, there's quite a bit going on with Russia and China. I bet my guess is that Paul and Zach were talking about that, and Gog and Magog. But this was an interesting headline this morning. It said, "Tokyo fears as Russian tanks, fighter jets, and helicopters storm the beach in a mock invasion of the Sea of Japan in one of the biggest drills since the Soviet era."
Yep.
And then also this week, I guess, twice, U.S. Jets had to intercept Russia Bearcat bombers. Those
I don't know
if you've seen pictures of those, but man, those are some humongous bombers. And the pictures of this show this battleship, basically, that the front unfolds and a ramp comes down, and basically the tanks just drive out the front of that, but they have the Russian helicopters, and it's somewhat concerning when you see all that's going on. Obviously, the Bible tells us that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and but the thing that struck me, I think, was in Russia, those troops, Putin has not allowed the homosexuals and the transgenders and the effeminate to infiltrate their armies. So their armies are men, fighting men. And if they come against our armies, I think it's by design. our armies have been weakened, especially through the 8 years of the Abomination administration, and the fact that the Soviet Union has just poured tons and tons of money into their military, especially in their long-range ICBM nuclear warhead delivery systems. We definitely don't want to be praying for conflict or war, thinking that we have the upper hand or anything. I think we need to keep praying for God's grace and mercy and intervention, and ultimately that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But, you know, the Bible tells us to pray for grace and mercy. I add compassion, because we've learned about compassion here recently. But
amen.
Grace and mercy in His wrath. And I mean, do we deserve to be annihilated as a people, as the majority, or at least, you know, probably close to 50% of the people these days that live in this JERUSALEM today, who have been brainwashed, deceived, and indoctrinated, really, through the school system, through movies, through TV, and all of these things. It's almost to the point now, and it probably should have been a long time ago, where you can't even really watch anything anymore, even if it's something that you think is good or something that's somewhat entertaining. They always have to interject homosexuality or lesbianism or something against Christianity or something against masculinity. And, you know, it's just, it's to a point where you can't even recommend to see anything anymore, and that's probably for the better. The time that we waste watching anything should be probably devoted into either reading the Bible or going to our knees to pray to our Heavenly Father.
Amen. It brings to mind the command, come out of her, my people. And it ties right in with the message of the gospel, repent and return to Him. And as long as the people are having their brain waves inundated by this these things you mentioned, John, you know, the homosexuality, the more people see it, the more acceptance it becomes. The filth that is no different. When you mentioned what that Baal priest was preaching about how Jason, how your grandfather came from a different time when Christianity was more harsh. Absolutely, God's word does not change. He says His word does not change. And it hasn't changed. People's understanding will change, but that's the people's issue, not God's. And
yeah, I thought Jason was. I thought you were going to come out of your seat when you said, your grandfather had also changed and realized these things. No, he didn't change. He understood sin was sin. He understood, and he represented that to his loved ones who he knew were followers of Jesus Christ, not just Christians by title only. And he said, "I know I will see you again. I don't know about the rest of them, but I know I will see you again."
Amen.
And that's quite a testimony.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. You know, we have the example of Jesus Christ, the woman at the well that they brought to her that they brought to him in sin. And so he says, okay, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And he forgives her, but what does he tell her? Go and sin no more. And so we see that repentance. And we're not given the rest of the story, but that there's a change there, that he did not bless those that remained in sin, because he can't, because God cannot change. He can forgive, and he can help lead, guide, and direct to repent and to change, but he is not going to bless those. And nor should we, that remain in sin. It just cannot be. And that's I think one of the big breakdowns is the people misunderstand grace and mercy. Grace and mercy is not acceptance of sin. It's not. You know, I think it ties right in with Jesus' words of saying, don't think I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To bring it to pass, to bring it to fruition, to take care of it. And so many just don't understand that. They think that means they've been taught, and our enemy has done a very good job. They've infiltrated the seminaries, and they teach that's what it means, that it means acceptance of anything and everything, that you have to be inclusive, and true Christianity is not that way. It is not.
Good way to wake up people from those facts. You know, I've had several who say, yeah, you know, you have a lot of good points, I believe what you're saying, but you don't seem to have any grace and mercy. And I said, what do you mean I don't have any grace and mercy? They're like, well, you condemn the homosexuals and trans, you know, all these people who are battling these things. And I said, well, got news for you. If you're condoning it, I'd rather be condemning it than condoning it.
Amen.
Because my Bible says, and then you share with them Ezekiel 3:17-19, and also in Ezekiel 33, there's almost a repeated warning. If you see someone living wickedly and you do not warn them to turn from their wicked ways and they die in their sin, the Bible says he will hold us accountable. Their blood is on us.
Yes.
But if we warn them to turn from their wicked ways and they choose not to turn from their wicked ways and they die, their blood is on them. And that seems to be an excellent tool in waking people up. Plus, I said, you know what? If you really love them, wouldn't you want to get them out of that sin so that they could make it into the kingdom?
Yeah.
All you're doing is condoning the sin.
Amen.
Because you're afraid of the persecution and, you know, the way that people will look at you for telling the truth.
Amen.
And I said, I'm not that person.
Amen.
Praise God. I had a pastor that no matter what the consequences were, he would tell the truth. No matter what it cost him, physically, financially, whatever it was, he would tell the truth.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you were talking about witchcraft and spiritual warfare, I went back to 1 Samuel 15, and it's with Samuel dealing with Saul and Saul's disobedience. And Samuel says in verse 22, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" And it just hit me that, you know, the burnt offerings and sacrifices today are the people getting up and going to church. Or, you know, when you see the people like you guys did one time in Fort Collins. Oh, are you a Christian? Yeah. What are you? Oh, Catholic. Because Mama was, or because Daddy was. And they think that to them, that's that burnt offerings and sacrifices today. And they think that's what gets them in. You know, they praise Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And He goes on and says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, which is witchcraft. And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." And that is where so many of our people are today, is they don't obey. They don't obey. But they offer the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and they stand there and let you know that, oh, they've support this church, or they, you know, they helped build that church. And in the day of judgment, I'm, you know, it's going to be, Jesus Christ is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." And boy, if there's ever sermons that needed to be preached in the Judeo-Christian church, it's that we are to love that righteousness and not practice lawlessness, but to hate it. But those Baal priests, they tell you to love everybody and everything. And that's just not Christianity. That is not what the Bible tells us. That's not what we promote at all. At all. Well, men, we're just about out of time. before we run out, do want to get an invitation out. We have, good Lord willing, and it doesn't look like the creek's going to rise, so we are going to have church in the morning. And so we want to encourage you and invite you to come out and join us. Starts at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 on the East Coast, and a little early over there on the West Coast, 7:30. But join us for a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that... and we've had several orders for this. Jason's had these Bible food laws the last couple weeks, and those are such a great teaching by our pastor, classic teaching that we played the last couple weeks. And we've had many, especially new people, call and ask about that. Well, what does this mean? What is that? And send me the CDs, send me the DVDs. And so, praise God, these truths continue to grow out, continue to plant seeds, and it continues to bear fruit for the kingdom in these Bible truths. Might not be popular, might not be politically correct, but they're truth. And so to the truth junkies, as Pastor used to call them, they're still hitting home. And John, looking forward to a live message from you tomorrow. And we've got some new music. And so we invite you to come to church. We'll have communion, we'll have some new music, and some praise and worship and honoring and praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we encourage you to come, to not forsake the assemblies. Come and get your daily bread. It's what we should be praying for every day, and it's one of the ways that we get that, is when we attend worship services with others. And you can do that right on your computer at scriptures4america.org and click on the live video stream. Well, men, hope you have a blessed day. Going to go out with a little different song this morning. John, you'd requested it, I think, maybe last week, but we'll go out with it here. God bless.
So much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. Know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive. God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. Of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God.